Hello, and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
It's the holidays, so we're going to be sharing our buzz-inducing recipes for great podcasts. The fans have spoken, so Jeremy's out. No, the fans have spoken, so I will review Rick Springfield's Late, Late at Night. We finish with a grand buffet of our best of the year picks. Seriously, though, Jeremy can't do the podcast anymore, and he brought a lot of energy and a lot of humor to this project. I want to thank him for that, and we all wish him well in his next career as the bouncer at Coyote Ugly. Rick Springfield's new novel, Sea, concerns Serge Carafax, son of an overbearing father who is both provost to a school for deaf students and an early patenter of wireless technology. Serge's idyllic childhood life on the campus grounds is interrupted by the death of his equally overbearing sister. Emotionally disassociated, he becomes a World War I airplane gunner and later a drug addict in Bohemian London. Chance or unconscious desire push him to Egypt, where he finds his long-dead sister, or at least her psychological golem. Filled with train tracks, telegraph wires, radio towers, and military ciphers, the transliterative interpretations of C are endless. Top this with Springfield's grotesque use of homophones and cringingly obvious mythological references, and the meanings or confusions become all the more clear, or I guess opaque, or maybe the book itself is just a parody. Sincere or ironic, the prose are still wooden, and I had no emotional interest in Serge or any of the other paper characters. It's like Nabokov's Pale Fire, but without the intricate prose. Without said prose, you're left with a Rubik's Cube, not a novel. If I wanted to play Sudoku, I would. One of the most anticipated novels of 2010, C has become one of my biggest disappointments. Oh, wait, I'm confused. I was reviewing Tom McCarthy's new novel, C. Tom McCarthy, the author of Remainder, you know, the art terrorist guy. Ah, I messed that up. So, but here's in a nutshell, here's Rick Springfield's Late, Late at Night. Australia. Teenage dirtbag, rock and roll hijinks, California, USA, FM rock stardom, soap opera hunkdom, cocaine, rehab, Nirvana, state fairs, 21st century state fair equivalent, reality TV, book tour, Popmatic podcast. Father Time has devoured another year, so we want to let you know about the best items we consumed from the library this year. Sharing is caring, and you can check these items out, too. Joining us this time around is new podcast member, Jesse.
Should I say hello?
Yeah, you can do that. That's cool.
Hello.
Welcome.
So these aren't necessarily things that came out in 2010. They're just things that we discovered in 2010. Because if you're like most human beings, you can't read everything that, you know, comes out in a year. I'm always behind, so I would just have to not be a part of this segment if we did things that only came out in 2010.
I can't believe you read that.
Starting us off is Bill.
The book I'm going to recommend is Under the Dome by Stephen King. And at first, I was not going to read this book after being disappointed by Lizzie's story and Doom at Key. But Under the Dome, all 1,074 pages was worth the time. It's about a mysterious glass dome and has entrapped the good and not-so-good folks of Chester Mill. The book is totally engrossing, and I highly recommend it.
Crystal here. I, too, enjoyed Under the Dome, but I'm going to have to go with Horns, written by Stephen King's son, Joe Hill. Horns is a tale about Ignatius Parrish, Ig for short. After a night of drunken hell-raising, Ig discovers he has grown horns. Ig soon realizes these new horns also give him power over people. They're compelled to share with him their most terrible secrets and sick and twisted compulsions. Ig has barely been drifting through life. His beloved girlfriend was raped and murdered almost a year ago. And everyone, including the law, believes he committed the crime, even though he was cleared of the charges. Horns, to sum it up, darkly comic, supernatural thriller, graphic scenes and dialogue, so he's definitely a chip off the old block. But Hill definitely has a literary talent all his own. In the end, Horns acts as kind of a commentary on the good and the bad inside all of us. How about you, Amanda?
Tell us about your good and your bad.
Ooh, but I have two goods. Because there's too many bads to talk about. But anyway, two books that really stand out for me out of the 70-some I've managed to finish this year. The first one is The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. Everybody has been talking about this one. People come into the library and say, have you read this book? I want this book. So I just broke down. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read it. I have to say, I was not disappointed. In fact, I stayed up one night until 1 a.m. trying to finish it because I had to see how it ended. I wanted to know what was going on. So believe the hype and read the book, but please do not tell me how the series ends because I have not read the last book yet, even though it's coming soon, hopefully, and I do not want to be spoiled. So Hunger Games, check it out. The other book I want to tell you about is The Wave by Susan Casey. And I totally just realized that both of these books are by Susan, so it must be the year of the Susan. But anyway, this nonfiction work is actually about surfing and those crazy surfers who chase down the biggest waves on the planet. Now, I am not a surfer, but I still found this book incredibly readable and hard to put down. It almost made me want to try surfing, but then I read a somewhat gnarly portion of the book and decided that I was just fine on land. Thank you very much. I'm happy reading about killer waves. I don't need to give them an actual opportunity to kill me. So happy reading.
All right, so the best book that I read this year would be The City and the City by China Mievo, which is science fiction, but not in the hardcore science fiction-y sort of way. It's more like Borges' Labyrinth as a science fiction idea. It's a murder mystery forensics story that takes place between two cities that exist in the same space geographically. It's pretty interesting what Mievo does with the characters trying to force themselves to unsee the other world that exists around them. So it's a good science fiction for readers who aren't necessarily into science fiction and want to try. It's something a little more literary than the typical genre style of science fiction.
So definitely the best book I read this year was Savage Detectives by Roberto Bolaño. But everyone loves that book. That's probably the most critically acclaimed book in the past 25 years. So I'm going to go with a book that I think perhaps was underrated, and that was Chronic City by Jonathan Lethem. I think a lot of people didn't read that book because the lead character was this rich child actor who lived in Manhattan, and I think that was very, like, not relatable, so I think that kept people away. But Lethem uses that character to be someone who doesn't fit in, you know, who's alienated, and then he meets all kinds of people all through the social strata of New York. And I felt that it also dealt with, like, the internet and, like, media overload and, like, virtual reality in a really, like, subtle, like, literary way as opposed to a really obvious kind of way. So Chronic City is my pick.
I can't believe you listened to that.
My music review will be brief. I just recommend you buy one of the CDs or all the CDs to listen to it. On the music front, I'm going to recommend Glee. Any of the cuts are great, but my favorite song is Defying Gravity, which is sung by Chris Colfer, who plays Kirk, and Leah Michelle, who plays Rachel. All I've got to say after that is thank you, Amanda, for pushing me to watch this show.
You are very welcome, Bill, and I would also add that if you want to listen to, I can't think of her name, who plays Mercedes? Because she does
that. Is it Amber Riley?
Yeah. She does the Hate on Me, also a very good song. Feel free to download these from Freegal, because you can. But just last season's, not this season's, so far. So while I've got your ear, I was going to talk to you about The Prayer Cycle by Jonathan Elias, but Freegal has removed it, which is sad. So instead, I'm just going to mention two CDs I've already talked about that are my favorites for the year. The first one, Lady A's Need You Now. I had to go way back to January when that came out, but It's blown up since then. Crystal seems to enjoy it. though the second album is Night Ripper by Girl Talk, so check these out, listen to them, and enjoy. And that's all I have to say about that.
So I had some music picks up, too, but then I learned that you were going to talk about Frigel, and I was like, you're right. Just Frigel in general is awesome. And if anyone's listening and doesn't know what that is, the library has this service where you can download songs for free without any digital rights management. And it's anything that's in the Sony catalog.
And you get to keep them.
And you get to keep them. It's not a rental. It's only things in Sony, and you can only do 5 a week, but that's
free is
still,
good.
That's still awesome. I think, too, that it's one of the things that makes our library and our music collection really cool and really unique. And also, I think it's really great that Sony, who is a really evil spy on you, sue you kind of company as far as digital rights management is concerned, was progressive enough to be the company that would work with libraries in this way. Now, if you download these songs and, you know, you give them to a bunch of people on the internet, I'm sure Sony will still sue you. But the idea that they will let library patrons download them to own for free is like a really amazing progressive step, and that makes me happy. But if you're going to download something from Frigel, I recommend Soft Machine. Almost their entire catalog is on Frigel. And their third album, called Third, you can download in its entirety because they only have 5 tracks on that record.
You'll see. That worked out well.
So now, Crystal, you have to stop chair dancing and tell us what your pick is.
Well, I don't think my best pick of the year is on Frigel. So you're just going to have to wait for the CD. If you're a constant Popmatic podcast listener, you know my taste leans towards music from over the pond, and my pick for this year is no exception. It's hands down the indie electro pop group The XX. Their self-titled debut is my favorite musical discovery of the year. Band of early 20-somethings. They won this year's Mercury Prize for Best Album. I read it was recorded mostly at night, and I can totally hear the darkness. These songs are understated, simple bass lines, modest guitar solos, and keyboard work pulled together with programmed drum beats. The XX is not afraid to include space in their sonic landscapes. And I love the shared male-female lead vocals, which are thankfully not auto-tuned. By the power of Grayskull, we're going to hear a clip of track 5 called Heart Skipped a Beat.
I was struggling to get in, left waiting outside your door. I was sure you give me more.
You need to come to me when I can make it all the way to you. You made it clear you weren't near enough for me.
Did your heart skip a beat?
Mine skipped too.
If you like,
call an ambulance. That song was great.
If you like what you just heard, I recommend going to NPR's All Songs Considered website. You can stream the XX performance at Bonnaroo this past summer.
I can't believe you watched that.
The movie I'm going to recommend that's on DVD, and once again, this movie is engrossing. I feel that it's better to be engrossed than to be entertained. And the movie I want to talk about is Roman Polanski's film, The Ghost Rider, which came out earlier this year, based on the book by Robert Harris's The Ghost. Not to be confused with Nicolas Cage flicks, The Ghost Rider. The movie I'm recommending deals with a British ghost rider played by Ewan McGregor, who has been hired to pen the memoirs of a former British prime minister. And as the ending goes, I won't spoil it for you, but it's pure Polanski, both sinister and hauntingly beautiful at the same time. It's good to see at 77, Polanski still has his directing chops.
So the best TV show or movie that I got from the library this year by far was Battlestar Galactica, the Sci-Fi Channel remake. So the premise of the show is that most of humanity has been destroyed by androids, and now the humans that are left are on the run from the androids in space. And there's only, like, what, maybe 40,000 humans left?
They're Cylons.
I'm not calling them Cylons. I'm calling them androids.
Oh, well, that takes all the fun.
That's just...
So, and Crystal's mad at me because in the show, they are not called androids. They are called Cylons. Though I could be really geeked out and be like, they're not androids or Cylons. They're cyborgs. But that's different. I'm not going to go there. So the Ruts left of the humans are on the run from Cylons, okay? And it's very extremely intense. You may think, I've heard this before, humans and robots, you know, I don't care. I just want to say this show is intensely dramatic. I mean, it's very, I've never had a show where I'm like on the edge of my seat, like gasping. Like if you listen to the podcast, you know that I do not care about popular entertainment. I never review things like that. But this show just totally had me engaged. And it's like Top Gun and China Beach and The West Wing, like all rolled into one. And it, like if you're someone that isn't into sci-fi, I recommend this show. The writing is excellent. I mean, it's kind of like someone says, well, I don't like Jane Austen because I don't like romance novels. It's like you're missing the point. There's more going on here. So I strongly recommend the Battlestar Galactica TV show.
Now, you're just talking the new reboot, right? You don't have to go back to the 70s and pick up the original. And
I've never seen the original Battlestar Galactica. And the thing about the original Battlestar Galactica, most people tell me that it's bad. And in this particular show, everyone that has ever watched the show was like, you have to watch that. Even when it was on TV, like, you know, I don't remember when it, I think it debuted 2006, 2004, 2007, but everyone was like, you have to watch it, you have to watch it. Afterwards, people were watching a DVD, like, oh, you have to watch this show. And the show that you're going to talk about, you're talking about Burn Notice, right?
I am, yes, sir.
I was talking to my friend about it. I was like, you have to watch Battlestar Galactica. It's so good. He's like, well, I'm watching Burn Notice now, and I only watch things that get an 8 on IMDb. And I was like, ooh. So I looked up Battlestar, and it got a 9. And I was like, hey, guess what? Battlestar Galactica got a 9. He's like, nothing gets a 9. Nothing gets a 9 on IMDb. I was like, Battlestar Galactica does.
That's BSG, baby.
But you're going to talk about that show that he was watching.
Which got an 8, which is still an 8.
So I do love Burn Notice. I think it's probably my favoriteest new show. I might even like it more than Glee, which feel free to gasp and shock as you need to. Thank you. Right on cue. So I like Burn Notice because it's an excellent combination of good writing, funny subtitles, and thermite. What is thermite, you ask? Well, according to Wikipedia, thermite is, and I quote, a pyrotechnic composition of a metal powder and a metal oxide, which produces an exothermic oxidation reduction reaction known, fittingly, as thermite reaction. Lots of big words in there, huh? Basically, it's saying that the combo of these chemicals makes everything get really hot. A practical use. Fiona, aka Gabrielle Anwar, put a bunch of it in a coffee can and set it on the hood of a car, and it burned straight through the engine block. So see, Burn Notice isn't just about having fun. It's also educational. If bad guys come after you, just put some thermite on their car and 9 times out of 10, they'll probably stop. Thanks, Burn Notice. The library has the first 3 seasons, so get caught up now, and then you can start watching the real episodes on USA and we can talk. And I'll see you at the water cooler.
Okay, so I have 2 movies to recommend for this year. The first one is to continue in the science fiction theme that we seem to be hitting today, Moon, which is directed by David Bowie's son, whose name I can't remember right now.
Duncan Jones,
who used to be Zoe Bowie was his name as a child, but now goes by Duncan Jones. I don't know why. And Moon, if you don't know, is about an astronaut harvesting elements from the moon who is sort of stranded on the moon by himself with a computer that has Kevin Spacey's voice. And the astronaut is played by Sam Rockwell, who this is like the movie that Sam Rockwell was born to play. Sometimes he borders on the too wacky side for me. He walks that line and he crosses it very often, sometimes too much for me. But this is, his wackiness is turned into insanity and dementia in a perfect way that you really feel like Sam Rockwell is trapped on the moon and can't get away. So it's very excellent. It's a science fiction, but it's like, what was the Robert Altman movie about Richard Nixon?
Secret Honor?
That's it, Secret Honor. Well, Moon is the sci-fi equivalent of Secret Honor, except with a computer that talks like Kevin Spacey. And the second movie I wanted to recommend is Greenberg, which is the new Noah Baumbach movie, which there's not a Noah Baumbach movie that I don't really enjoy, but this was really, really awesome. It's Ben Stiller, who is, even if you don't like Ben Stiller, he does a really good job. There's only one point in the movie where he gets Ben Stillery, and it's when his character does a lot of cocaine, which I says think says a lot about Ben Stiller, maybe, as an actor.
He played Jerry Stahl, right?
Yeah. So I guess it's the polar opposite of that. But Greenberg is about a neurotic 40-something-year-old man who's trying to just not do anything for a while, I think is the line in the movie. He's had a nervous breakdown, and he's trying to figure himself out while house-sitting for his rich brother in L.A. There's appearances from a lot of indie movie stars whose names you probably wouldn't recognize, like Greta Gerwig and Jay Duplass, who've been in the mumblecore filmmaking scene for a while, but it's sort of a jump up for them. It's a really good movie, and I recommend it. Very emotional and intense.
My discovery movie or TV show in the library's collection this year was the new Doctor Who. The library owns series 1 through 4 so far, with Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant as playing the Doctor. For those not in the know, the Doctor is the last of a race of Time Lords, and he visits our planet, ends up with a female companion to join him on his travels. Along the way, they save the Earth and other planets from total devastation, traveling both backwards and forwards in time. It seems like the Doctor and whoever happens to be his current companion are somehow involved in all major historical events. For example, the Doctor was present when Agatha Christie mysteriously went missing for a week. I must admit, I have not watched any of the old Doctor Who.
Tom Baker.
That's what I hear. He's the best. But I plan to school myself in the not-so-distant future. It's a fun show, lots of great action, one-liners, unusual aliens, and plenty of romantic tension. And I can't believe it's taken me this long in my life to discover it. As Brian mentioned at the beginning of this edition of the Pockmatic podcast, one of our esteemed colleagues, Jeremy, is leaving the main library to go to work not at Coyote Ugly, but at the Edmondson Pike Branch. Jeremy, we want to thank you for all your contributions and give you a final farewell and shout out. Please let the following classic power ballad from 1980 say what we can't find the words to express. Good luck, man.
So say we all.
Been listening to Nashville Public Library's Pop-Matic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.